Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a wonderful Wednesday today. Lots of stuff to talk about. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Awesome. I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I'm sitting up here in North Carolina right now, and it's beautiful. It's about 70 degrees, clear blue skies, no chemtrails, light mountain breeze. It's absolutely stunning, actually. I mean, it's really nice, a lot nicer than it was in Florida at 95 last week. So, yeah, so it's really pleasant up here. So, yeah, I'm doing great, son, but this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it, regardless whether it's raining, hot, cold, or perfect like it is today. Buddy, what's your first story?
Well, the first thing I wanted to bring up is I told you guys yesterday I was trying to figure out what was going on with Jesus Campos, the security guard in Las Vegas that was supposedly shot. Well, the whole situation already was incredibly weird. You guys know last Thursday he disappeared, completely vanished. He had five interviews lined up back to back to back, completely disappeared now. Then after the media, after the internet literally exploded yesterday on this, trying to figure out where this guy disappeared to, suddenly out of the blue, Ellen DeGeneres tweets out that she just did a taped interview with Jesus DeCampos last night, and it's airing today. And it aired today, and I watched it. And I don't know if this guy is staged. I don't know if he is either still in shock, but he acted very, very skittish on the show. You can even see one scene where she pulls up this diagram of the whole floor from behind her chair. He's pointing to it. He's actually shaking. You can see his hands and his fingers trembling while he's pointing to it. Again, I don't know if he still has PTSD. I'm just speculating. The whole thing completely reeks to me. This guy disappears on Thursday, has five interviews lined up. One of those supposedly, I think, was supposed to be live, has all these interviews lined up, disappears out of thin air after he's already said multiple times he wants to discuss this, he wants to talk about what's going on. He disappears for 5 days, then suddenly shows up for Ellen DeGeneres for a tape show that's aired today now. And the weird thing about it is, the more research I keep trying to do, his employment history right now so far has been scrubbed from Mandalay Bay. I've talked to multiple people that are in investigation. They can't find anything on him, nor can they find anybody under that name with any type of security guard credentials in Nevada, period. Supposedly, this guy got shot at 200 times and got grazed once in his lower calf. And so there's weird stuff going on with Social Security number two. His cross-reference goes to Jesus Quintero, which nobody can figure out anything about that either. So I'm still doing some more research. But what's very odd about this interview, the one thing I picked up is he said that he came out of the stairwell supposedly because there was an alarm going off for an open door, which already is weird because they've blatantly said, I've already heard this now from two people that were supposedly retired security from Mandalay Bay. They said the doors don't have alarms on them when you open them. They can't. There's too many floors. They literally go around the entire night checking each door if it's ajar. They're basically fire escape doors. So he was going to check an alarm. He walks out in the hallway after he comes out on the 32nd floor. He's walking. He says he's walking down the hall, and all of a sudden, a barrage of rounds come through the door at him nonstop. One hits him in the leg, and he ducks behind cover. The individual behind the door, who's supposedly paddocked, continues to shoot for like an entire minute, 100 rounds, another 100 rounds through the door, and then this engineer comes up, whisks him to safety, and they radio down that basically there's a shooter. Well, the first thing that completely threw me off here is, why in the world would you shoot 200 rounds blindly through the door when you had no idea what was on the other side? If the guy had a camera, which they said Paddock set a camera up, why would you not open the door, engage Campos with 4 or 5 rounds to the back or to the chest with your AR, close the door, go back to what you were doing? Why would you shoot 200 rounds through the door? The second aspect of this is, I don't know if anybody has seen rifle rounds. When they go through doors, they're usually not that big of a hole. However, 200 rounds through a door is going to start breaking apart the door pretty quickly. You're going to start having pretty big exit holes after a while from shooting in the same spot. I don't know what's going on with this story, Dad, but this whole thing reeks. As soon as I found out this guy did a taped interview with Ellen DeGeneres last night out of nowhere, completely out of the blue, and now it's airing today, and now they're saying that he's not going to do any more interviews, this whole thing is just stinking to me. His whole story doesn't match up at all. No understanding at all why somebody would launch 200 rounds through a blind door, because they don't even know if anybody's on the other side of the door. He could have, somebody could have opened their door to walk down the hallway to go back in their room. So this guy just blindly is going to shoot 200 rounds down the hallway at nothing, has no idea what's down there, but yet he turned around, broke out two windows, and was able to hit 500 plus people from the 32 story with a bump fire rifle. That makes no legitimate sense to me at all, Dad.
Me neither, Austin. And see, this is what happened back with the Kennedy administration. We couldn't get a voice because we didn't have the internet. And the people were so frustrated, and so we don't believe what's going on because there's no way that this story can be truthful. The thing that's so ironic to me is all the planning that went into this, is that they didn't come up with a better exit strategy or an exit story before this thing went down, because this whole thing was planned. I mean, they should have written the entire strategy and exactly what happened before it happened so that everybody would be on the same page like they did in 9/11. Remember when we were listening to the people who were being interviewed after 9/11? Oh, yes, planes hit the building, and the fuel exploded, and the fire from the heat of the flames melted the steel structures, and the buildings collapsed. I mean, they knew exactly what to say when they were being interviewed in a post-9/11 scenario, which were they were probably interviewed before the towers ever fell down. This is very, very sloppy, which leads me to believe that something went wrong with this false flag. And that's what we were talking about last week with Robert David Steele, and again with Dave Hodges on Friday. Robert David Steele feels as though that Trump knew this was going to happen, found out a week out, tried to do something about it to mitigate the amount of damage they were going to do, because something happened to the official narrative causing all of these giant holes in the story. So these guys have to be very unhappy with what's happened. And personally, as far as this security guard, I believe he was taped off set. Of course, that's where they would do it, or on set with nobody else there. They did an extensive taping when it probably lasted 2 to 3 hours, and the CIA or whoever was doing the plant of the story came in and they edited it down to a 10 or 15 minute segment like it was on Ellen. So this is what they do. I remember years ago, I had them come in, I guess it was the 700 Club came to my house, and they wanted me to cover the top 10 foods never to eat. And they literally did 8 hours of taping. 8 hours. They asked me every question, from how if the moon was made out of Swiss cheese. I mean, it was ridiculous. For 8 hours, this went on, take after take after take, topic after topic after topic. Finally, I get done with this tape, right? And so I'm like, gosh, I'm thinking I'm going to get the whole show. I got like a 20-second segment. That was it. 20 seconds is all they used. And I thought to myself, this is absolutely ridiculous. They had sent a whole crew of people all the way down from Virginia Beach to our house in Florida, and I got 20 seconds. So this is how the media operates. They come in, they give you a script, you follow the script. If you don't follow it right, you're going to do take after take after take, which would make you extremely nervous if you weren't used to being in the media, which means your hands would start shaking, and this is what they had to come up with. This guy may not even be alive right now. This tape may have been done a week ago, Austin. There's no telling what in the world this tape signifies as far as his whereabouts or his health right now, Austin. So it's really kind of sad. So I don't know, bud. By the way, the same NBC, yeah, National Broadcast Company, that leaked the Trump tape during the campaign, tried to cover up the Weinstein scandal. Over the summer, Ronan Farrow, reporter of MSNBC, tried to break the story about rape allegations against Harvey Weinstein. To back up the story, he had taped interviews with three of Weinstein's accusers and a police sting tape. NBC News chief Noah Oppenheim turned down the story, turned it down, said he wasn't going to report it. Yet to influence public opinion of the eve of the presidential debate, NBC leaked the Access Hollywood tape featuring Trump making lewd comments about women. Tucker Carlson puts the whole story together, including the role played by Weinstein's attorney, actress Rose McGowan, who is one of the women who accused Weinstein of raping her, says the attorney, a well-known feminist, offered her $6 million to recant her story. I'm going to repeat that. The girl, actress Rowan, who is one of the women who accused Weinstein of raping her, says that the attorney, to a well-known feminist, offered her $6 million to recant her story and to change her story and say it wasn't real. Guys, the problem with all of this stuff in Hollywood and it's just nauseating when you start looking into it, is this. What we hear about is the tip of the iceberg. All of this stuff is going on along with child sacrifice, child pedophilia, drinking of blood, witchcraft ceremonies, Babylonian parties. The list goes on and on and on and on. And sadly, when one story like this slime bucket Weinstein breaks loose, you know, it obfuscates all of the other stuff. Remember, these are the same guys that were going to soul cooking parties before the election with Podesta. That's who these sickos are. These are some of the biggest perverts on the face of the planet, Austin. And I'm so glad at least the tip of the iceberg has been exposed. What do you think?
No, you're exactly right. And it's wild now that a lot of these people that were involved in weird stuff, that have been involved in stuff, now they're all coming forward to discuss it. But again, to me, what I see these guys doing now, the mainstream media, Hollywood, they've pretty much disowned Weinstein because of this media exposure. So what they're doing now, they're trying to ramp up the severity of what he's done, trying to make it look like he's this and that, which I think he's an absolute total pervert. He's probably been involved in way worse stuff than they're even bringing up. But they're doing this intentionally to be like, oh, well, he groped me, you know, when I was doing this and I did that, because they don't want anybody digging deeper into what really happened as far as all the stuff they do with the child pedophilia, with the all the hundreds of thousands of kids that go missing every year out in Hollywood, the child services pedophile ring that they have with the CPA or the Child Protective Services, CPS. All this stuff, they don't want any light being shown on that. So what they've done now is they basically sacrificed Weinstein to the media and allowed him to completely blow up on the mainstream media so they can just crucify him, which, good, because he doesn't need to be anywhere around anybody as sick as he is. But there, nobody's discussing the child pedophilia and any of the weird stuff that a lot of these guys are really involved in that's really sick. Instead, they're bringing up the, you know, he molested an 18-year-old girl at a, you know, a interview or something like that, which is horrible as it is. It's not digging down to the root issues of what a lot of this stuff is going on, and they're blatantly covering it up, trying to put forward all this other stuff in the mainstream media by a lot of these actresses now.
That's exactly right. In fact, all of these guys are a bunch of perverts. In fact, another story, George Soros actually gave $18 billion. He's a big promoter of Hollywood, because remember, he's a Rothschild cutout. Gave $18 billion to promote replacing independent nations with global collectivism. In other words, a new world, one world order. George Soros, the 87-year old financier, who, by the way, has been reported dead by several people, but I have not seen that in the mainstream news. But, of course, if he was reported dead, they would resurrect the lookalike and just keep him going as he is, who is known for fomenting numerous color revolutions, has transferred $18 billion to the Open Societies Foundation, a network of nonprofits that he uses to promote his collectivist ideology globally. Soros says he is laying the groundwork to continue his mission after he dies. Ha ha, he's probably already dead. That's why this is going on. Oh, good riddance to him, too. May he not rest in peace. That mission is to eliminate national borders and to establish progressive policies globally. This is absolutely nuts. This massive transfer, which was first reported by the Wall Street Journal, is roughly equivalent to the gross domestic product of Afghanistan, according to the World Bank Center, not including their revenue they generate on opium, by the way. Grover Norquist, president of the Americans Tax Reform, suggested that the transfer is the way for the 87-year-old source, who's, I'm going to say this again, who's probably already dead, to avoid estate tax, also known as the death tax, which penalizes large inheritance. Inside Philanthropy reported last year that Soros, who has said that he considers himself to be some kind of god, yes, he did say that, began laying the groundwork for the foundation to continue the mission after he dies. He's probably demon-possessed by Lucifer himself, and that's why he feels that he's a god. Hacked OSF documents published last summer shed light on the way in which Soros has used his foundation to advance communist open border policies both domestically and abroad. The foundation has channeled significant funding to Europe, here we go, to defeat populist candidates who clash with Soros' open borders worldview. Soros has also used OSF money to secretly funnel money to foreign government officials. That's like Benjamin Netanyahu funneling the money through a German think tank in order to skirt foreign laws against doing so. That's why, again, Benjamin Netanyahu is a slime bucket. The foundation has also successfully influenced global migration policies, according to one internal OSF memo, which says Europe's refugee crisis last year provided new opportunities for the organization to exert its influence. I mean, this is absolutely crazy, Austin, that this guy has been able to do this and been allowed to do this. But remember, He's the one the Rothschilds are using as their cutout to bring in their New World Satanic One World Order, guys. This is some crazy stuff, but I tell you what, guys, it'd be good. As soon as this guy leaves the planet, it'd be good riddance. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, I touched base on it just briefly right before the end of the show about the $18 billion he transferred. So this is meaning one of two things or both things. Either he is about to massively ramp up his agenda as far as what they're doing with everything over in Europe with the Muslims, with everything they're doing here with Antifa and Black Lives Matter and all the other nonsense that I'm sure he's involved in that we'll never even know about, and he's probably about to be checking out soon. So I think it's probably a combination of both of those. So everybody needs to be aware that all these things that have been going on, in my opinion, majority of them are not coincidence. I mean, this whole thing out in Vegas has just been a hodgepodge of different lies, different stories, different storylines over and over and over again. Nobody can get it right, even the mainstream media. Media can't get the story right. We're seeing all this stuff right after one another, like I said yesterday, from the hurricanes down here to the hurricane that hit Ireland to the wildfires out in California. Now they've just released an article today now that California will be preparing 10 million people with a drill of an inevitable 7-magnitude earthquake. That's supposed to be going on tomorrow, it looks like. They said the seismologists believe the U.S. states, the U.S. state California, is decades overdue of a giant tremor measuring a magnitude of 7 or greater. The massive fault line in the Bay Area of Southern California is thought to be most at risk, with experts giving 72% chance of a large tremor within that region. Almost three decades ago, San Francisco had a magnitude 6.9 earthquake that caused over $5 billion in damage and killed almost 70 people. They expect this one to be even larger. So, and I've talked about this numerous times out in California. That's why I say if you live out in California, you need to make sure you're prepared for anything. They've already softened California with these fires now that have been ongoing out there. I told you another one started up over the weekend. They're continuing to do this all over the country right now to get everything as soft as they can, so when they start letting in these larger incidences, it's even easier for them to have more casualties, and more people are extremely more gullible on what's going on, and they're more fearful. Remember what happened after 9/11? Everybody completely flipped out. Everybody said, we don't know what's going on. We just had two trade towers fall. We need to go to war. We need to sign this bill. We need to be protected. And of course, they had the Patriot Act signed into law immediately, which had already been written up. Literally, all they had to do was blow the dust off of it, sign it, and it was in law. It was ready to go. And that right there was one of the largest, most single-handed documents that took away our rights as American citizens and turned everybody into a potential terrorist simply by saying the government, all the government has to say is, we think you're a potential terrorist. Bam, that's it. No evidence, no documents, no nothing, no videotape, nothing. We think you're a potential terrorist. We can hold you indefinitely now as long as we want to interrogate you without bail. That's it, period. Patriot Act did that right after 9/11. So be very aware of all this stuff, Deb.
Well, the Patriot Act after 9/11 was almost the exact same verbiage as the Enabling Act that Hitler signed into power in 1933.
Yep.
I mean, we have to understand that that was written up as a 1,500-page document. It wasn't written up in a couple of days. It took months, if not years, to put that together to make sure they could have the ability to pass it through. They had to have what's called a precipitating incident. And, of course, the trade towers coming down was a giant, giant precipitating incident, which allowed them to come in and do that. So you got to take a look at this stuff from the reality of where they're getting all this information from and how they're following history again. By the way, a satanic-looking drag queen is reading to little children at the Michelle Obama Library, which, you know, makes sense. I mean, she's a transvestite. This drag queen's a transvestite. Bunch of weirdo perverts. I mean, that's how it goes. This is Long Beach, California, the land of fruits and nuts and flakes. The Michelle Obama Public Library hosted a satanic-looking drag queen describing himself as the killer clown from outer space, who read books to young children as part of the library's celebration of LGBTQ History Month. By the way, this is why they do this, because Obama's queer and Michelle's a transvestite, and we all know that. It's like the worst-kept secret on the entire planet. The Michelle Public Library basically decided to do this and just decided to really shock everybody. The shocking photo of a man dressed as a female demon with giant's horns on his head reading to little children at a public library was posted to Twitter and Facebook by the Long Beach Private Library, who were so proud of the photos, but taken down after a huge outpouring of critical replies, including from GOP congressional candidate Omar Navarro. It's also got the approval of the Church of Satan. Get that, guys. Here we go. It's all, guys, this is where it's all coming from. It's all coming from these lowlifes and their satanic agenda. This is, God help us. Jesus, come quickly. What's your next story, Austin?
Yes, it's pretty weird. Also news over in California as well. LAPD, the Los Angeles Police Department, has become now the nation's largest police department to start actively using drones over their population. The Civilian Oversight Panel on Tuesday signed off on a year-long test of drones by the Los Angeles Police Department, which will become the largest police department in the nation to deploy the controversial technology. Advocates say camera-mounted drones could help protect officers and others by collecting crucial information during high-risk situations or searches without risking their safety. For many privacy advocates and police critics, however, the drones stir an Orwellian vision of unwarranted surveillance or fears of militarized weapon-toting devices patrolling the skies. They have said now that weapons and facial recognition technology will be prohibited on the drones, which I don't believe that for one single second. One individual, Jim Laffrey of the National Lawyers out of Los Angeles, stated, "Mission creep is, of course, the biggest concern. The history of this department is of starting off with something supposedly good, intentions about the new toy that it gets, only then to get too tempted by what they can start to do with these toys and allow it to escalate rapidly. LA already has a significant amount of crime. I don't believe for one second that these drones aren't going to start being deployed everywhere for all types of different reasons, including, and what they'll say first, this is what they're going to say first. They're going to say, well, we're not using facial recognition, but we're going to use really, really, really high-grade software with really high-grade cameras so we can see everything, and we won't run facial recognitions on the drones, but if we need to use the footage and run it through our facial recognition data software on our base, we'll go ahead and do that because that's okay. Then they'll start running the full facial recognition software on the drones and say, it was just too time-consuming, it cost too much money, we'll do that. Then it'll come and they'll say, we're not going to weaponize the drones, but we are going to use less lethals because those aren't technically weapons. Those are less lethals. We'll use stun guns. We'll use tasers. We'll use, pepper balls. We'll use tear gas, but we won't use any weapons. And then they'll say, well, this situation arises right now. We're really sorry it had to happen. This rioting happened. They started shooting at the drone. The drone is now considered a police officer because it's a police drone, which they'll say that now, too. If you shoot the drone or you hit the drone or you smash the drone with something, bet money they're going to say that's battery on an LEO officer and you will be charged with a felony. I can already tell you that right now. So then it'll escalate and they'll say, well, we had to issue a M16 machine gun on the drone and fit it because we had to have some type of lethal weaponry just in the event that somebody tried to use lethal force against this drone, which is now considered a police officer. This is scary. The LAPD just allowed this to happen. I heard it for the last couple of years. They've been really trying to get it to go through. Now they've got it to go through. God help LA, because that's going to be a whole other animal in about 3 to 4 years when this thing explodes, Deb.
Well, they've shown us in the movies that's what they're going to do. They're going to arm drones. That's what they're going to do. And they already armed the drones over in Afghanistan and over in Iraq. It's not like it's some kind of secret.
Yeah.
I mean, they've already deployed them on civilian populations now. Now they're going to put armed drones on civilian populations. That's where it's headed. One thing I want to cover with you real quick is the Black Death is killing people in Madagascar. And this is having one of the worst plague outbreaks in years. Now, let me share something with you. Now, Madagascar's had to deal with the plague before, and it seems like it happens every year to a small degree on rainy seasons. This year is different. Instead of the cases in the middle of nowhere where the plague is endemic, the disease, which initially spreads by flea bites and was known as the Black Death of medieval times, has spread to the capital of Madagascar and other densely populated cities for the very first time. So far, close to 50 people are dead, and it's sparking panic. On Monday, 387 cases were reported and said, including 167 in the densely populated capital. Now, let me share something with you about our Centers for Disease Control and our little boys at Fort Detrick and all the stuff that they do in their little nighttime visits in their little secret laboratories. Years ago, they started digging up bodies in the frozen tundra up in Norway and Sweden that had died 400 or 500 years ago from the Black Death. Now, I'm not making this stuff up. Because they wanted to find a frozen corpse that had been in the tundra, in the permafrost, that had not decayed for centuries, so they could basically isolate the bubonic plague and be able to weaponize it. I don't make this stuff up. It just seems strange to me to talk about it. And now all of a sudden we have an island country, Madagascar, off the coast of Africa, which is an isolated country, which can't be, you know, accessed very easily. And that's the best way to test a plague weapon would be to do it on an island, so it wouldn't really get, have a chance of getting off the island as quickly as it would in a major populated area like in L.A. And now suddenly we have people dying left and right from the plague in Madagascar. Guys, these boys from the Center of Disease Control and the boys at Fort Detrick and all these guys who have their African laboratories, they're all about making stuff that kills people very effectively and efficiently and very quickly. And quite frankly, I would not be surprised to find out that it was, it's the boys from Fort Detrick that's, again, doing a big population experiment here in Madagascar. But I want to bring that up because I saw this a couple of weeks ago, and it's not seeming to be going away. So you gotta be thinking about what's going on over there. And the point of the articles I'm reading from Melissa Riskier, the mayor of Madagascar, of Tomasina, said, let's be realistic. We're defeated by the plague. You can leave your house today and catch the plague tomorrow. And authorities didn't realize they were dealing with a more virulent form of the plague until September 11th, when a 47-year-old woman with pneumonic plague died in the hospital in Antivirio. The delay was disastrous. In recent days, the disease has spread more quickly. So I want to know where this more virulent strain of the plague came from, if it was something they resurrected from the permafrost in one of these bodies. I mean, think through this for a second with me, guys. The Black Plague wiped out about half the population of the planet back in the 1400s, 1500s. I mean, it was bad. Some parts of Europe had two-thirds of the population dead. They used to bring carts around in the daytime, and they would say, bring out the dead, bring out the dead. And they'd have to haul the bodies out and throw them on the doggone carts and haul them out to the cities and burn them. This stuff was being transferred by fleas and by rats from person to person. So it was a major, major problem. In fact, if the plague ever got on a ship, the ship would just be not even allowed in the ports, and everybody would die on the ship. I mean, it's just what it is. Now, what's interesting to me is that we got a bunch of sickos in the scientific community who just say, oh, by the way, let's go up to Norway and Sweden, and let's find some bodies that died 500 years ago in the permafrost, and let's see if we can resurrect the plague. I mean, who thinks like that? Who thinks like that? Oh, that's right. The Sabbatean Kabbalists think like that because they want to reduce the population of the planet by 90%. It's going to be biologicals. Guys, I'm going to say this to you again, and I don't want to be redundant because I got a lot of new listeners. I got to continue to say this. It's important that you keep your immune system really, really strong. It's absolutely critical that you continue to take your potassium iodine, your D3K2, every single day. Have astragalus on hand. Have vitamin C on hand. Keep your immune system very, very strong, because remember, not everybody died of the plague, and the reason they didn't die of the plague is because their immune systems were stronger. But also remember, the primary diet of the Middle Ages was pork fat, large fat pie, because the peasants couldn't afford any decent meat, and they were eating huge amounts of pig and pork fat and lard pie. That was the diet, and pork massively reduces the efficiency and effectiveness of the immune system. In other words, if you want to get cancer, eat pork. In fact, the World Health Organization has said one of the primary causes of cancer globally is the consumption of pork. And of course, the Word of God back in Deuteronomy and Leviticus said that thousands and thousands of years ago, when it warned you, you're coming out with long and lingering diseases if you didn't do what the Word said, which meant, which He said, don't eat pork. I mean, guys, pork is not the other white meat. It's the other toxic meat. It's a scavenger feeder. It's a nasty, nasty animal filled with parasites. Simply don't eat it. Now, some of you who've just started listening to the show, you say, well, I'm going to make sure I cook it well done just in case there are trichina larvae in it. I want to make sure if these worms are in the pork that I'm eating that they're dead when I eat the worms. Now, think about what you're saying. If you knew that the steak was filled with worms that you were going to eat, and you cooked the steak well done to make sure the worms were cooked well done and dead, why in the world would you want to eat dead cooked worms in your meat? That doesn't make any sense to me. So if it has a possibility of having trichina larvae in it or worms in it, wouldn't it be best just to avoid that nasty stuff and not put it in your bodies at all? That's how I look at it, guys. What do you think, son?
Yeah, I've always kind of thought the same thing. And, I mean, down here in Florida, we have a huge epidemic of hogs out in the swamp, especially the green swamp and all kinds of other places. And it's open season on hogs 24/7, 365. They're such a nasty animal down here. State of Florida doesn't even want them. You go out to Texas, they've gotten so bad, they'll actually pay you sometimes just to go kill them. They'll do that here in some parts of Florida, too, in areas that have gotten very bad. Very, very nasty animal. I've always been shocked when people down here go shoot wild hogs and basically, you know, strip the back strap off of them. fillet them, clean them up, and cook them and eat them. They're nasty animals. They're very, very nasty animals, especially when you see them in person, especially when they've been dead about 2 to 3 days, and they're nice and blown up, and they're just sitting there, and there's a nice, big, giant, rotting hog that's about to pop. And you go, yeah, that's,
awesome.
Yeah,
that's
let's cook it. I'm joking. That's not something you would eat. And it always boggles my mind because they're a scavenger animal. That's what they do. They eat trash. Next door to the office here, we actually have a family that has a pet potbelly pig. He just runs in the backyard with a dog. I see it every day when I go to work, and he's always over there, and the dog's always over there chilling out. And the pig, 24/7, when I come by, he's steady walking around the yard with his face in the dirt, eating everything that's in the grass. Anything he can find, he eats. That's what they do. They're like lobsters. They scavenge the bottom of the ocean. They eat all the trash. That's what I tell people all the time when they're wanting to eat lobster tail. I said, I don't know if you've ever been lobstering and scuba diving. They're nasty animals. They look like giant cockroaches, and that's what they are. I mean, they're crustaceans down there. They're scavengers. They eat all the trash on the bottom of the ocean. The hog is just basically the land lobster and does the same thing. It's just on land. So eating that kind of stuff, you can't possibly ever think it's going to be good for you if you understand anything about biology and what your body's designed to do and how it's not really designed to eat trash and feces. It's not designed to do that, guys. So why would you eat an animal that's primary diet consists off the feces of other animals and dead carcasses? Doesn't make any sense to me. Just use some reasoning on that. So I'm glad Dad brought that up, because yes, I've read that numerous times too, is that one of the issues why the bubonic plague spread so rapidly is A, also was cleanliness, and B, was the diet. When you eat pork all day long, and that's the only thing you pretty much live on most of the time for meat, your immune system's compromised. So maintaining a really healthy diet, exercising at least 3 to 4 times a week minimum, and getting healthy supplements in, like Dad said, the vitamin C, the D3, the ultimate multiple, those at least is your base, and then throwing in some of the added ones when you need them, like the Virographis and Astragalus, are really important. Also, too, in other news, this actually was a couple weeks ago, but it's starting to get some traction. I pulled it up because I wanted to make sure I verified this, and it is true. After years and years of denying and debunking a ninth planet, NASA scientists have confirmed the existence of a ninth planet in the discovery now. A lot of people are saying this is Nibiru or Planet X. I don't know. I've read about a lot of that stuff. I never knew how much I believed about it. But NASA has confirmed now, and they published a press release stating that it has discovered unmistakable evidence of a ninth planet in orbiting our solar system. The planet is surmised to be 10 times the mass of the Earth. So it's a very, very good planet, and it's floating around out there. But they do say there's no chance of it ever coming in contact with the Earth, so don't be worried about it. I don't know how much I believe them, but it is funny now, after all this time, NASA said, Planet X, Nibiru, you guys are crazy, there is no ninth planet, doesn't exist, doesn't happen, doesn't exist, you guys are nuts. Now all of a sudden they have come out now and said there is absolute evidence that a ninth planet exists, Dad. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
They also told us that artificial sweeteners were safe and that the Kennedy only had one shooting and that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. I mean, why does anybody believe these clowns ever again? A New York editor brags about colluding with YouTube to push a political agenda. Project Veritas covert video exposes Nicholas Dudish, an editor of the New York Times, who said that YouTube's gatekeepers give preference to New York Times content and that have stories placed on the front page or have them buried. Ernest Pitette, who holds the brand in this diversity-led position at YouTube, was also caught on the video describing how he makes it difficult to find news outlets like Alex Jones or Health Masters, but makes it, he didn't say that, I'm saying that, but makes it almost impossible to miss an article from legitimate news organizations who are the new partners with YouTube, who they refer to as the mainstream media. What an absolute joke. Also, these guys are actually saying stuff that, you know, that you, they're actually trying to do all of this. We already knew all this. By the way, in Sweden, a dental hygienist is fired because she reveals that 80% of the migrants receiving free dental care are not children, but they're adults by their teeth. Dental hygienist, I mean, surprise, surprise. Hey, dental hygienist Bernd Hurtitz, who worked for the Public Health Service in Visby, was told by the Swedish Migration Board to report all suspicions about migrant age to them. So he sent 8 emails advising that 80% of the migrants that he examined who were children were actually full-grown adults who had lied about their age to receive free dental care as children. He was fired after 10 years of service. The district court ruled that the breach of patent patient security had occurred, but also said there was no reason for his dismissal. I mean, guys, think about this for a second. The guy's treating adults that are supposed to be children for free and says, hey, guys, these really aren't kids, you need to know, and he gets terminated. What a mess we live in, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is why I keep bringing this up over there, is they're massively censoring what's really going on in Europe. I think we're only seeing about 10% of what's really going on over there as far as the real numbers that are coming into that country. Every time I do research, every time I start trying to pull up interviews and stuff, everybody over there says it's turned into a nightmare. You've been over there multiple times, and you've said there's giant swaths of them now. They're taking over whole portions of cities, and they're no-go zones. The police are blatantly told, do not engage this. Let them have their own little civilization. The problem is their own little civilization starts off with maybe 1,000 migrants. Well, then it grows to 10,000. Well, then it grows to 100,000. Then it grows to 1,000,000. And pretty soon you got 70, 80, 90% of the entire population, Muslim migrants, living in your town. And there's nothing you can do about it anymore because Europe's been fully disarmed. You have no way to defend yourself in any type of situation whatsoever except by having a pepper spray or stun gun. And a lot of these guys, for some odd reason, they still keep getting guns and all types of crazy stuff over there. Very odd. I remember that article last year that came out where Greece customs agents intercept that giant crate of furniture. It was like a giant, almost like a one of the big utility trailers. It had furniture in it for migrants. That's what it was labeled as. That was listed as in customs. Furniture for migrants. And they open it up, and they start opening up a couple of the boxes, and it's all machine guns and boxes of ammunition. And they're going, what in the world is this? This is not furniture. Why are we finding 5,000 AK-47s in here with 500,000 rounds of ammo? Why are there shotguns in here? What is it? Who sent this? And, of course, they tried to figure out what happened. That completely went off the news immediately. I mean, you didn't hear anything about that, nor did anybody bring it up anywhere. I was one of the only people that talked about it, and it was weird. Everybody just dismissed it. Oh, it was a mistake. They don't know what happened with it. Really? How do you mistakenly send 5,000 AK-47s to somebody? You just accidentally do that. Oh, man, I misplaced them. I don't know where all these pallets of guns went. I don't think people realize how I mean, pallets it takes to make 5,000 AKs and just automatically lose them. No idea. Also, too, in other news as far as with the autonomous vehicles now, a sobering number has been revealed from, I think it was Morgan Stanley, actually, to surprise, surprise. They're forecasting now that if the autonomous vehicles and electric vehicles want to basically meet their number in all these countries now that are stating we want to be fully autonomous and fully electric by 2030 and 2040, like all these idiots are blatantly just blabbering all over the place now, that it's going to cost at least a minimum of $2.7 trillion just to set up electric infrastructures to charge these vehicles all around the world. That does not even include the cost that it's going to be to basically integrate these guys into the systems that control each other, the vehicle costs themselves, or the roadway expenditures on trying to operate this many electric vehicles and have sensors and everything else on them. Just the charging ports are going to be $2.7 trillion. And now it looks like Tesla has laid off a significant amount, almost 10% of its workforce, right before the new Model 3 sedan has reportedly not been completed, but the production remains behind schedule. As employees now are basically left. 10% of the employees just been canned, completely gone. So I don't know if they have a different idea, if this whole thing with autonomous vehicles has been a ploy, has been smokescreen for something else, if they're going to try and do it. I don't know. But some weird stuff's going on with this now, Dad. When, like I said, when Tesla dumped 10% of their employees when they haven't even finished their Model 3 yet, I think that's pretty odd that this is going on right now. I feel like there's something way bigger under the ground that we're not seeing with this electronic vehicles that are going on.
Well, Austin, if you kill 90% of the population, you don't need a lot of cars.
Well, that's true, yeah. Probably.
I mean, they don't, you know, they probably figure we got plenty made already, you know what I'm saying? So you don't know what these guys are thinking and how they're planning long-term forecasting models. If they're using Deagle.com, then 80% of the population of the United States is going to be wiped out by 2025. And I'm telling you guys,
Yeah.
You better keep your dog on iodine right beside you, potassium iodine. You need to be taking that 12.5 milligrams every single day and taking your immune system builders, because they're going to find a way to tap out a bunch of the population. By the way, schools now are allowing transgender biological boys to sleep in girls' dormitory. Nothing to see here. The British school has changed its policies to allow biological boys to sleep in the girls' dorms, wear skirts, and use gender-neutral pronouns and girls' names. The new policies at Gordon School of Woking, England, lets both boys and girls use whichever bathrooms the individual feel comfortable using and dress however they see fit, according to the Times. The boys are allowed to wear jewelry, makeup, and sport long hair. Parents of pupils were surprised by how open-minded we have been. Most schools are having these issues, said Rob Travis, the deputy head of the school. Now, here's the thing I've got to say about this, number one. If you've got a bunch of boys sleeping with a bunch of girls, and all of a sudden the boys decide they're no longer transgender when they hit puberty, there's going to be a problem. I mean, there's going to be a really quick problem with a bunch of girls pregnant. And I mean, you think, well, you think that's, oh yeah, I've seen it over and over and over again. You know, I mean, things like that happen, you know. And so I just think it's crazy that these schools over in England, but remember though, a huge percent of the population, you know, even among the indigenous population of England are gay now. I mean, it's ridiculous when you go over there how many queer boys there are. And it's just crazy. And so I guess they've decided now to go ahead and help promote this type of behavior and to continue the downfall of England. I mean, it's absolutely sick stuff also. What do you think?
Yeah, that's pretty odd. I saw that article too about that, and I mean, my thoughts were kind of with you, but the truth about it is, if a huge amount of the population is essentially being so feminized that a lot of them really don't even have an interest in girls and they really are turning gay, I don't know. That's a weird situation, man. I just feel like that's just setting up for trouble. I really do. This whole political correct nonsense with transgender, with let the boys be girls and girls be boys, and nobody's a specific gender, and you got to pronounce everybody's pronoun the right way, and there's like 60 different pronouns, and now out in California or whatever, if you intentionally call somebody the wrong pronoun, their gender pronoun, multiple times, they can arrest you for it. This whole thing is becoming a joke. Like, I laugh about it when I think about it, but then after I stop laughing, I realize it's actually serious. There are actually people that legitimately take this serious, and they're willing to fight about this so much that they got California to pass legislation to throw you in jail if you intentionally call somebody by their wrong gender pronoun, which still boggles my mind every time I even bring that up. So, yeah, I guess this is what they're going to do now. Again, it's getting a whole younger generation completely compromised. And that's what I said before, from the video games, from the iPads, from the phones, from the internet, from the porn, to the TV, to the music videos, to the music itself, from the unbelievably idiotic Common Core. This whole thing is not accidental. It's not coincidental at all. They've done this intentionally because they knew, as we talked about yesterday with the Civil War, one of the biggest aspects of that is they had to wipe out that second generation that were raised by dad that was involved in the Revolutionary War. The men that said, no, 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 son, this is what happened, and you will never allow this to happen. You will fight to your death over it. And they did. And they all died. Majority of them died in the Civil War. So much the fact that Sherman made sure he marched through and took everything out from Tennessee through Atlanta to Savannah on Lincoln's orders to make sure there was nothing left civilian and nobody could get supplies out. I didn't even bring this up yesterday. A lot of people don't even know this. When they disassembled the railroad tracks so nobody could get supplies out to the civilian farms. Nobody. You could not get anything out there unless it was by horse and buggy. They took the railroad ties, they heated them up, and then they would bend them around trees, and they nicknamed them Sherman's bow ties, so nobody could turn around and bend them straight enough again to use on a railroad. So they literally had to go in, reheat it, build new metal, new railroads, and come out there and reassemble the entire railroad track to the south again so they could get supplies back down to the south so people could actually eat and have food after that winter. That's what happened with that. Anyways, that's a side note, though. But, yeah, so everything that's going on with that is very, very odd. It's obviously an agenda, Dad. It's getting very, very aggressive, though, because, like I said, now you can be thrown in jail for intentionally calling somebody the wrong pronoun out in California. That took it to a whole new level. So I guess we're just going to have to do the best we can to fight it on every level and not submit to it. That's one thing. I'm incredibly, if you guys ever meet me in person, I'm incredibly politically incorrect, intentionally sometimes, just to prove prove a point that I can be. And that's my right as an American citizen. Sometimes do I take it overboard? I probably do take it overboard. Do I care? Absolutely not one single bit. When I was up in D.C. with everybody, a lot of my friends that I was in college with up there, they were in the wedding, and everybody's like, dude, that's not PC. And I said, what's PC? I said, is that one of those old computers, personal computers? And they all started laughing at me. I said, I really don't care. I said, I can be like this. I have to be like this. I said, because quite frankly, if nobody else is like this, we're going to turn into the most sissified country that's ever faced the planet, and it's going to be a total joke if we're not already a total joke. And it's not something we can do, guys. We have to be Americans. We have to be conservative. We have to be Christian. But above all, we also have to be men, and we can't allow ourselves to be compromised to this point that we're so afraid to say anything in public because we don't want to offend anybody by using the wrong pronoun or saying something to offend somebody because they're white, black, Hispanic, Chinese, whatever it is. We're all races. We're all proud of it. Let's all be proud of our own race. We can't be scared to call somebody black or white or Mexican or Latino. Everybody's so afraid of that now, it nauseates me to the point now, if you say anything, it doesn't even matter what the context is, you're automatically a racist. They started that under Obama, and that drove me nuts. Just because you disagree with somebody doesn't make them a racist. It just means they don't agree with you. And everybody has the right to disagree with one another. That's the beautiful concept of the United States, is we don't all have to agree and get along. That's a great part of it. I love that. But they're trying to do the best they can to force all of us into that liberal leftist mindset agenda so that none of us fall against that and we follow the mainstream propaganda, Dad. And I'm done with it, with this whole gender nonsense.
Oh, I am too. I've had enough of it too, Austin. I mean, you got to remember, my kids call me a dinosaur, my young kids. They say that I was born in the 50s, and I wish I was. You know, I was born in 55. And so I'm kind of like the dinosaur for all the kids because they don't understand how I feel the way I feel. But I've raised you that same way. I mean, my dad was born in 1901. My mom was born in 1916. And I was raised old school. And I raised you old school. I've raised the other kids old school. And by golly, if you want to raise your kids differently, which I know you won't, that's entirely up to the kids and everybody else around them. But I'm not going to go there. Yep. I'm not compromising it, also. I'm not going to go. By the way, Kansas is being sued over a law that punishes those who boycott Israel. Now, this law got passed here a while back. This is ridiculous. I mean, the ACLU is suing the state of Kansas because it has a law that punishes those who boycott Israel. Now, I don't blame the ACLU for this. A law that limits free speech and compels political speech. Esther Kuntz is a member of the Mennonite Church USA, which divested from the Israeli companies this year. She's a school teacher who has been banned from employment by the Kansas Department of Education for refusing to sign the following statement. As an individual or contractor entering into contract with the state of Kansas, it is hereby certified that this individual or company listed below is not currently engaged in a boycott of Israel. I mean, this is so stupid. The lawsuit is based on a complaint by the Kansas Public School math teacher, Esther Kuntz, who is a member of the Mennonite Church. It says, Kuntz said the law punishes her for political beliefs and prevents her from working as a public school teacher and a math teacher. As a member of the Mennonite Church USA and as a person concerned with the rights of all people, and specifically the ongoing violations of the Palestinians, I choose to boycott consumer goods made by Israel and international companies that profit from the violation of the Palestinians. However, the Kansas State Department of Education informed her that she would have to sign the following statement in order to contract with the state as an individual contractor that she would not do it. I mean, she said she wouldn't sign it. So now they're being sued. I mean, guys, here's the problem with all of this stuff. I mean, if I want to boycott something that comes from Germany, if I don't want to buy a German car because I don't like Germans, okay, don't buy a German car. Who cares? But making it illegal to do that is stupid. I know people to this day, they will not buy a Japanese car because of Pearl Harbor. These guys are old now. They're old, like dirt, older than dirt old, like 90 years old. They refused to buy a car because it was made in Japan because of what happened with Pearl Harbor. That's their right. Are you going to tell me that that's illegal and they're going to be punished if they tell somebody they won't buy a Japanese-made car? Absolutely ridiculous. But here it is. If you don't buy something from Israel, it's a law. You can't boycott it. What kind of crap, excuse my language, is this, Austin? It's complete and total nonsense that we live in a society that thinks they can get away with stuff like this, bud. I mean, this is still America. Oh, that's right. I forgot about the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, APAC. That's the most powerful lobbying group in Washington other than the National Rifle Association. So, guys, I tell you what, that corporation should be listed as a public enemy as a national interest, as a foreign agent acting on domestic soil. It should never be given the status that it is. And almost every single congressional leader now who goes to Washington has to sign a loyalty oath to Israel and to AIPAC. Guys, that crap needs to stop. And I'm sorry I used that word twice today, but that needs to stop. That kind of nonsense doesn't need to be here in the United States at all. If we don't like Israel, if we don't like Russia, if we don't like Germany, if we don't like England, if we don't like France, it doesn't make any difference. You shouldn't be forced to say you can't say that, and you can't be forced to not be able to boycott it. That's directly against what we, the American people, were founded as, and it completely, you know, people died on American shores, not on American, they died on European shores defending our right for freedom of speech and freedom of choice as far as what we want to do in this country. If a person wants to kneel at a football game, that's their political right. If they want to do that, I think the NFL should fire them for it, but it's their right and they shouldn't go to jail for it. Complete and total nonsense, Austin. What do you think?
Oh, you're 100% right. That's what I said from the beginning. It's idiotic. I think it's unbelievably disrespectful, and especially the ways they're doing it now with kneeling for gender pay gap and other stupid stuff. But absolutely, if they want to do it, they can do it. But I don't expect their employer to keep them employed very long. I wouldn't if I was their employer. But again, that's absolutely their right. The employer doesn't want to hire them or keep them on payroll because of that behavior. That's his right to do so as well. You can't say, well, NFL, we're going to fine you if you don't keep these guys on payroll because they're kneeling, or you don't like the way you're doing it. You can't do any of that. That's why I had such a humongous problem with the Obamacare Act when it came out. That's why I won't pay the Obamacare tax. I will not support any of this nonsense when they come through and just make unbelievable, unconstitutional laws that absolutely have no business being part of the United States of America. The whole aspect of why everybody came here essentially was because they did not want to live under tyranny. They wanted to be able to worship who they wanted to worship, and they did not want to have taxation without representation. That's all they had in Europe. Those two things, they hated it, nor did they have any firearms, too. But that was secondary to a lot of that, and actually mainly because once you have firearms, those other two go away. So I guess the firearms would be more of a preceding incident of that. But again, the Obamacare was something that was so unbelievably distasteful to everybody that knew about constitutional law. It was, I mean, it literally was nauseating. And then the good thing is, I just saw an article today, we pulled up here, President Trump said today, Wednesday, that he would not support the bipartisan proposal to shore up Obamacare and stabilize the health insurance markets. He said, I am a supporter of Lamar, which he's referring to, Senator Lamar Alexander. He said, as a person and also of the process, but I will never support bailing out the insurance companies who've made a fortune with Obamacare. He said yesterday, Trump said Tuesday evening at the Heritage Foundation that he supports the efforts of Senator Lamar Alexander to fix the problems with Obamacare, but he insists that lawmakers find a solution to the Obamacare mess instead of providing bailouts to insurance companies. The whole plan all along from this, and we talked about this, was A, to extract more money unconstitutionally with an illegal tax from Congress that they allowed to have been placed of the Obamacare tax, the mandate, the individual mandate if you didn't have insurance. The second aspect was to basically transfer huge amounts of money again through the insurance bailouts to help these guys stay propped up. The same thing they did with the housing market when they let these guys do unbelievably illegal swaps with this, built the housing market completely explode unnaturally, I might add, completely unnaturally. And then at the end of the day, we bailed them out almost $1 trillion, and most of the executives that were at the top of those banks walked out with $30, $40, $50 million bonuses for the end of the year. That's exactly what the insurance plan was to do with Obamacare. So I am extremely impressed and I'm excited that Trump said he will not be bailing out any of the insurance companies with Obamacare now. I really hope he stands firm to that, Dad, because that was a huge aspect, again, of putting more money on the backs of American citizens, of debt, of money that we don't have, that we're borrowing from the Federal Reserve, that we'll never be able to pay back because the interest is never printed.
That's exactly right. By the way, journals everywhere now are finally sounding the alarm about Big Pharma being worse than Big Tobacco. It's a pretty good article.
Yeah.
And it said all we've been telling people about this opioid epidemic and what's going on in the drugs industry is a racket, a scheme, a chemical con game. This is by Adams, and that has mastered the dark art of turning human beings into profit centers while pretending to be searching for cures. I mean, this is some crazy stuff, but it's absolutely true. Big Pharma is now, people finally begin to realize that Big Pharma is worse for people than Big Tobacco ever thought about being. Because, guys, they're trying to literally get every single person in the United States on their prescription drugs with all of their horrible side effects. And again, it says in the book of Revelation, it's the pharmakia that these people are going to be going to hell over, and one of the reasons for it. So, guys, thanks for listening today. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of our family, actually. I mean, you guys call me from all over the world all the time and email me from all over the world. It's just really exciting to be part of this and to know that we're making a difference and that you guys are making a difference by supporting us and by listening to the show and telling your friends about it. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for being here for us. Thanks for just showing us your love and your compassion and giving us your prayers and just being there for us. I love you guys. And again, thanks for supporting Health Masters. Thanks for being with us. Austin, you'll do the write-up, and I'm going to go ahead and go, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Absolutely, bud. Yeah, and he's absolutely right about that. I've said that for years, that Big Pharma is much more deadlier than Big Tobacco could ever be. The aspect of it that most people don't even bother to realize is that tobacco's been a cash crop for hundreds of years, especially in the United States. I don't really recommend using tobacco. It's not a very healthy product, especially all the cigarettes with all the contaminants in them. But even the natural tobacco with cigars and chew and whatnot, you still have nicotine in it. And I mean, it's a vasoconstrictant. It's not good for the heart. It's not good for the vascular system, bloodstream, or any of that. But again, when the tobacco industry, it is what it is. It's tobacco. With the pharmaceutical, it encompasses every single aspect of people's lives now, and the fact that they have literally come up with a medication for every single thing you could possibly think of, including coming off tobacco. And the side effects of Chantix are suicide and suicidal thoughts. So that was always one of the things that I thought was funny, is I've known people that have lived into their 80s and 90s still smoking cigarettes, which always surprised me, but I've seen it, and I've seen people that literally didn't make it past 60 because they were on a dozen medications and it killed them, in my opinion. So it's sad to see a lot of that, but that's what it is. That's why we're trying to wake as many people up about Big Pharma that we can, because this is not something that we can continue to sit by idly by and pretend that it's not happening. It's getting worse, and they're doing everything they can to get it going. Guys, we appreciate the support. Thank you for all the emails. Thank you for the phone calls. Check out healthmasters.com. We just got the brand new Testo Plus formula in. We actually have Tongat Alley in that formula now, the Long Jack. And that's a brand new Testo Plus formula. It won product of the week, so it's on sale, over 15% off right now on the front page of the website. So be sure to check that out. Really aggressive formula. A lot of times people are going to stack this product with the Tribulus for added testosterone increasing ability, and stack that with the DIM estrogen control to keep estrogen levels under control while you're really boosting testosterone. Great for muscle, great for energy, great for sex drive. Really good product. You guys are going to love it. We've been working on it for a while, reformulating it. We have it out now, and it's on the shelves, ready to go. Check it out at the website, healthmasters.com. If you guys need anything, give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. You have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.